Hello and welcome to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Back to School Sale headquarters here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah?
Now, nope. Wouldn't Junior look great in one of these fine Car Talk t-shirts on his or her first day back at school?
Yeah, and there's some other incredible stuff that we've got for sale here. This is great.
At huge markup, only today. We have acid wash jeans still dripping with fresh carcinogenic solvents from our garage.
I like it. How much are those? Well, $9.95 or $29.90? Well, what does a pair of pants cost?
$9.95, but the shipping and handling is $40.
And
make sure you don't forget I Am Shirley Wright's classic study guide to English grammar, bringing home an A. Or is that
taking home an A?
I don't know. I think we're going to clean up on this,
what?
Huh?
Is the janitorial staff on strike again or what?
I know you're dying to take a call.
No, I'm not dying to take a call. I got all kinds of mail here. I got one letter here, which, it's a scathing indictment.
Of whom?
Of us. And where this show is headed. Dear Brothers Magliozzi, this is an interesting letter. I've recently discovered that there is now a standard against which all correspondence directed to you is to be judged. Of course, he's talking about the
Andy letter.
The Andy scheme. The Andy scale. It gives one pause, even to contemplate sending off a missive to the literary arbiters of Harvard Square. How could any ordinary person write in without being compared to some guy who waxes rhapsodic in balletic terms about your joint ineptitude on the subject of electric trailer brakes? I refer to the pas de deux line you found so stylish. After setting such standards, you two sit around and bemoan the dearth of correspondence. How could anyone send in a letter reading, quote, "Nice show, guys. In between the BS, I even learned a few things about cars," end quote. Does this new elitist trend, and here's the skating part, new elitist trend in letters also apply to what the letters are written upon? Is ordinary fruit no longer acceptable? Must it be on pomegranates or mahogany and teak? Are puzzler answers to be on $100 bills? I suppose, too, that future phone inquiries will be about problems about how loud the dash clock on a Rolls should be. This is no idle epistle. For a couple of guys with black fingernails, you're getting awfully uptown. I was so intimidated about writing that I had to type this letter. I was so nervous my crayons kept breaking. Tom Ernesto Bethencourt. From where? Alto Loma, who listens on KPCC 89.3.
I guess we do have to be worried about encroaching elitism.
We do, my God.
It's ever encroaching elitism. We welcome all letters from now on.
I tell you, have you ever been accused of elitism or anything having to do with not being a bum?
No.
Ever in your life?
Not since you've been doing this show.
I don't understand it. Well, Tom, flake off.
Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Alexis.
Hi, Alexis.
Alexis.
Hi. Yeah, who makes Alexis?
I don't have a nickname, guys.
That's a Toyota, isn't it, Alexis?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I wish I could drive Alexis, but it's just my name. That's it.
Where are you from?
I'm from Richmond, California, and I'm talking to you guys just in the nick of time.
Really?
This afternoon, I'm leaving for Italy. Yesterday morning, I hear my husband talking to our mechanic about the fact that I will be gone for 2 weeks, and they have 2 weeks to work on my car. Yes, and the problem is this. I think El Nino actually affected my car. I drove a VW Golf, and all of a sudden I noticed whenever I'd go from different temperature changes, say it would get really cold at night and the next day was really hot, my car would overheat. And the same thing would happen if I was driving from, say, the ocean where it was chilly, and then I'd be driving towards the mountains and it would get hot. As soon as I'd hit that heat wave, the car would overheat. So I took it to the mechanic. One guy said I needed to replace the radiator. I took it to another mechanic.
Yeah,
he said nothing was wrong. So now what happens is I keep driving it, and when the weather changes, it's like a suction is in the coolant reservoir, and I only keep water in there. And it goes suck, 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 suck.
Yeah.
There's no water left.
Aha, so you have a leak.
But I never see water coming out.
Oh, yeah, no, you have a leak. And the most likely candidate is, where are you going in Italy?
To Tuscany.
Tuscany? And, and for what purpose?
Oh, well, you're going to love this. I'm actually starting off in Switzerland with my sister-in-law, and we're driving an Alfa Romeo down to Tuscany.
Oh, how sweet it is.
And now, you guys, I just want to ask you this. Do you have an 800 number that can go international if I need you?
Yeah,
well, we have a number in Italy.
You do?
Yeah.
We
don't
know.
It's 1-800-PASTA.
Well, that sounds pretty good. I'll make sure I remember it.
Enough of this small talk, Alexis.
Yes, guys, you've got to save me.
All right. Well, if you must know.
What's that? What?
First of all, the business of it getting overheating when it gets hot, that's usually when things overheat.
Right.
And it's, I don't think it's so much the change in temperature. It's that the change is up. It never overheats when the change is down.
Well, yeah, but I mean, how do I find the leak? I mean, these guys didn't say
you don't have to find the leak. They're going to find the leak.
You might want to help them by telling them that you suspect you have a leak. See, they might not be looking for a leak, or they might not be looking hard enough. Oftentimes, a small leak can amount to a large coolant loss over a period of a few days or a week.
Okay.
And the most likely candidate is the water pump.
Okay.
And if it isn't that, it could be a head gasket, but I doubt it.
Oh,
they usually don't go on Golfs.
Oh, I hope not.
Tell them to put the pressure tester on it with the engine hot and to leave it on all day, and they will find a puddle under the water pump, and they'll change it the day you come back from Italy.
Yeah. Okay. You got it.
Great.
Well,
and have a wonderful time in Tuscany.
Well, I will, guys. And, hey, if I need you, I am calling my 1-800-PASTA number.
1-800-PASTA.
Buon appetito.
All right. Arrivederci.
Ciao.
Bye. Ciao.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, my name is Chet from Southeast Michigan.
Hi, Chet.
That's my assumed name, actually.
Yes, I suspected there was something phony about
know?
The name.
Pause. My name is Chet.
And didn't really give us a town. Southeast Michigan.
Right.
Oh. You must drive one of those foreign cars, and you're afraid of all those Michigan neighbors burning your house down.
That's pretty much the case. I drive a 535 BMW.
Oh.
Mm. The problem with the Beamer is that it has an evil twin. Every Beamer has an evil twin. Bummer.
Bummer.
That's when they break down.
Yeah.
So I've had, some intermittent problems with it starting.
Uh-huh. Mm. And what kind of problems?
I don't know. Well, I went out camping and parked at kind of an angle, slanted down, and it was raining cats and dogs, and was on the way to the store for a bottle of Chardonnay, and it wouldn't start.
What did it do?
It wouldn't do anything.
Yeah.
But the next morning,
I go out and
starts right up.
Yeah.
And it wasn't raining the next morning.
It wasn't raining the next morning, but about 2 weeks later, I was coming back from a client. I was in kind of a hurry, and I went out to start it again, and it wouldn't start again.
Are you a massage therapist?
No.
Just asking.
Never mind.
I don't want to know.
And was it raining that day?
No, it wasn't raining that day, so I eliminated the wet wiring thing.
Mm.
And then I thought, well, maybe it's the angle at which I'm parking the car. Maybe it's a fuel filter, or maybe there's some
water. I can tell right away, Chet, that you like to come up with real harebrained theories.
What do you do for a living? If it won't give away your identity.
I'm a management consultant in the automotive industry.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that explains a lot.
That explains everything.
All right.
Yeah, okay, that explains the Chet thing.
Well, anyway, I mean, to go back to your problem.
Okay.
It seems likely that you're not getting fuel. I don't think the angle necessarily. I mean, the fuel pump will pump if the car's on its roof.
Yeah.
The fuel pump doesn't care.
Right.
On the other hand, you could have a bad fuel pump relay.
Right. I thought maybe it would be the fuel filter.
No. The fuel filter is unlikely to cause this problem because if it prevented it from starting, it would never run correctly. But we know it does run correctly once it starts. So it isn't that. Mm-hmm. It's probably not a faulty coil or a bad distributor cap or any of those things. Again, if you did get it started, it would run poorly.
Mm-hmm.
But
something
like a relay can, in fact, behave in just this manner, that it doesn't kick in the pump.
Mm-hmm.
If the pump doesn't pump, but she wasn't no start.
Right.
And then once it does kick in, if you try turning the key on and off several times, once it fires up, it runs great.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
at the very least, check the fuel pump pressure, because you could have a weak pump or an intermittent pump. Mm-hmm. And if they can't figure anything else out, ask them to change the relay. It's not that expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But save the old one, because when that isn't it, you can plug the old one back in.
I think that's what I'll have to do.
Yeah. There you go.
All right.
See you, Chet.
Okay,
Chet.
You have a nice day,
Dylan. Yeah, sure. You too.
Good luck.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. We're tracing this call. Bye-bye.
We have caller idea, Dave.
1-888.
You have a caller idea?
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255.
Hey, good.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Dana. I'm calling you from the country which produces your very, very favorite cars.
France.
England. Portugal.
Oui, bonjour.
France.
Where are you from in France, Dana?
Oh, you can tell by my accent. I'm Canadian originally.
Yeah, but what city are you in?
Oh, here. Oh, in a town called Fontainebleau, which is just southeast of Paris.
Oh, yeah, I've been there.
Oh, they have
it's in Miami Beach.
The Fontainebleau Hotel. Anyway, what's up?
This is one of those, I'm calling for a friend who is too embarrassed to call you phone calls. You want the long, sad story or the short, sad story?
Oh,
the longer the better.
Sure. Yeah.
The long, sad story?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
When was he born? You know, start from when he was born and all that stuff.
Was he an ugly child?
Oh, that would be a long, horrible one. Let's call him Hans, just to make sure you'll hear why at the end of the phone
Hans.
Call. I shouldn't use his real name.
Yeah.
He's a German engineer, by the way. He was living in Berlin when the Berlin Wall came down. And he and all of his friends all went in the middle of the night and stole pieces of the Berlin Wall and brought them home and put them in their front garden and acted like good West Germans and et cetera. And this piece of the wall was in his front yard until about, I don't know, 2 months ago. And then he got accepted at this fancy business school in France, which shall remain nameless, and wanted to show off this piece of the wall here.
Yeah.
To impress people. And he borrowed his father's BMW to drive down here. And they put all his stuff in it, put the piece of the wall in the trunk. And it's been there for 8 weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can't figure out how to get it out of the trunk.
Oh, because it's too heavy.
Yeah. And they forklifted it in there, but they can't get it out. And he's been lying to his dad for about 6 weeks now about why he can't bring the car back.
Let me get this right. They used a forklift to get this into the trunk.
Yes.
I could understand that. If you use a forklift, you got to get underneath the thing.
Yeah.
But you can drop it into the trunk, but then you can't use the forklift to get it out.
This is one of those big 7 series, and it's new. It's like a year, not even a year old.
So do we have any idea how much this thing weighs, this piece of rock? Is it igneous rock?
It's East German produced reinforced concrete.
It's concrete.
Yeah.
So it's denser than rock.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got.
And how big is it?
Well, it basically fills the trunk with about, you can get the trunk closed. It's about, maybe a foot and a bit thick and 3 foot and a bit long.
Oh, my.
Oh, this God. Probably weighs a ton.
I got it.
I know you have it. He can't get anything underneath it. I mean, it would be nice if you could get a chain underneath it, and then you could lift it out with an engine hoist even.
No, he's going to have to remove the trunk lid.
Right, and the 2 rear fenders.
No, you
and
might
slide it out.
No, you just jack up the front and it'll fall right out.
Well, I think.
Oh, how about that? Yeah.
Now, they're going to have to use buoyancy. They're going to have to fill the trunk.
They'll float the concrete. Is that it?
They're gonna, you know what they're going to fill it with? Mercury. There you go, right?
Buoyancy's good. I like buoyancy.
I like buoyancy. Mercury. You fill that trunk with mercury,
and
blow that suspension.
That hunk of rock will jump right out of
it. It will. You'll have to watch out. You might land on your toes.
Yeah. Well, no, and the paint job will look just like it did before you got the car, right?
Here's the solution.
Yeah?
The solution is they're going to have to obviously remove the trunk lid. That just unbolts. That comes right off.
Okay.
And they're going to have to then drill into the block. They're going to have to do some accurate measurements because they don't want to drill through the floor of the trunk.
And into the gas tank.
But they're going to have to drill far enough into the rock.
And screw a hook into
and,
it.
And put no, and put in a piece of rebar, a U-shaped piece of rebar that they're going to epoxy in place.
Sure. And then they'll lift it right out.
And then they'll get it halfway out, and the rebar will break. But that's his only chance. But I like the mercury idea.
Yeah, flotation is good.
Flotation is good. any construction company will be able to help him with this problem.
Yeah.
Right.
They can just put a drill a couple of holes, put the rebar in there, epoxy
it. First of all, Hans is a German. And secondly, he's an engineer.
Yeah.
He cannot lower himself to go and ask for help. That's the real problem.
Then the mercury is it. I'm exhausted. I come up with two brilliant ideas.
Yeah. No, I mean, once they take off the trunk lid, they will be able to get it out. Tell them to call a piano moving company, and they'll have it out in half an hour.
Oh.
Yeah. Either that, okay. He's going to buy a ton of suction cups. See you, Dana.
Okay, this might be a good one for Stump the Chub.
Indeed.
Oh, boy.
We'll try the mercury first, and if I'm well, we'll...
As they say in France, bonne chance.
Okay. Merci beaucoup.
Good luck.
Bye.
Let us know what happens, will you?
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
All right, look. It's time for us to take a short break.
Right. I can see the gauge on your forehead. It's reading hot. So it must be time to add some coolant to you.
We'll be back in a minute.
Call the Tappet Brothers. Talk, click, and clack. The diagnostic duo for your rattle trap. Tell them about your problems.
Catch a little fly.
If you don't like the free advice, you can have your money back. AC broken. Drive train smoking, oil burning, steam churning. You got no brakes and that front end wallers. Time to call those back seats color. Call the Tappet Brothers, talk, click, and clack. The diagnostic duo for your rattle trap. Tell them about your problem.
Catch a little flat.
You don't like free advice.
And even though assistant producers in the news division get the smelling salts ready whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a prison warden and need to send inmates running back to their cells.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and France.
France. Now, here's an interesting little snippet. Here's a little snippet.
I'm ready.
Sheila Schultz sent us this.
From France?
Where is she? Where are you from, Sheila? St. Louis. St. Louis. New York. Newsday reported in April that a 46-year-old Worcester, Massachusetts man inexplicably began speaking with a French accent immediately after he was involved in an automobile accident.
It must have dislodged.
Wait a minute, there's more. Dr. Mahis Muniz told the annual meeting of the American Academy of Neurology that about 24 cases
of spontaneous French occur every year. Come on, snap out of it, will you? You're on National Public Radio. Get a hold of yourself, boy.
It's too good. I can't see anyone.
Come on, you can do it. Come on, you started it. You finish it.
24 cases of foreign accent foreign accent syndrome. I love it. I can't see. Foreign accent syndrome have been reported in this century, caused by a change in the brain circuit involved with motor control that affects the vocal cords. You have foreign accent syndrome ever since you went to France. Can you believe the guy gets hit by a car and all of a sudden he starts to talk like this?
He bolt on.
What did he do? Jump out of the car and say, "You stupid fool, why did you bump my car?" Foreign accent syndrome.
Great stuff, huh?
Ah, Sheila, thank you. That was the best laugh I've had all week.
Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Andrew in Arlington.
No kidding.
Arlington what?
Arlington, Mass.
No.
Not far from our fair city of Cambridge.
No kidding.
No kidding. So what's on your mind?
Well, I've got a 1983 Saab 900.
Yeah.
That's bucking like crazy. It shudders back and forth. The tachometer resembles a polygraph at a political convention. It's just bad news all around. And I wonder, is the problem mechanical, electrical, meteorological, geological, psychological, or theological?
Genealogical.
Could be that, too.
Hey, I like that little taxonomy. What was that again?
It's
electrical,
yeah,
mechanical.
Electrical, meteorological.
Meteorological.
Geological.
Geological.
Psychological.
Psychological.
Or theological.
Theological! Woo!
And I've got thoughts behind each of these.
You do?
Go ahead. First of all, under what circumstances does it do this bucking?
Well, this goes to the meteorological. It seems to do it mostly when it's very hot and humid.
Okay. Oh, I see. I'm going to have little clues for each one of these categories.
Exactly.
And humid. Okay.
Hot and humid.
But not just hot.
But not just hot.
Well, it's hard to have hot without humid.
Yeah.
Around here.
So you don't know that for sure, necessarily.
But exactly. How about humid and not hot?
That's
a more important question. How about, like, rain?
That actually might be the case, because there have been a couple of instances where it's been fairly cool, and it's done it anyway.
But it's been wet.
Good.
I'm scratching out hot and leaving humid.
Yeah.
And that's the answer we wanted to hear.
Okay, let's jump right to theological.
Theological, it occurs to me, maybe it's possessed.
Possessed, yeah. Okay.
Okay, well, it could be.
You know, it's
that is
the
possible.
Headlights aren't spinning around like Linda Blair in The Exorcist, but, you know.
And the psychological is that you... That it's
it may
really not
really
doing
be
this, and you think it is.
Well, the psychological, yeah, it could be my psychology. I'm thinking of the car psychology, because it seems to mostly happen after we've been discussing getting a new car.
Ooh.
And I think the car might be jealous.
Jealousy.
Okay.
Jealousy.
All right. The only other category of interest is geological.
Yeah.
Well, I thought maybe it was a fuel problem, and, you know, it's a fossil fuel, so it's a mineral. I realize I'm reaching there. But
you are, yeah.
That is a stretch.
Okay.
And you haven't had anyone look at this?
Oh, no.
Not yet, no.
How long has it been doing this?
Months.
Yeah, about a month or two. It's been real intermittent, though.
Okay, and my brother's original question is, under what circumstances, but does it happen, like, when you're accelerating? Does it happen at steady speeds? Is it all the time?
Tends to be when you're first starting the car, either first thing in the morning or after it's been running for a while and has been shut down. It tends to be under partial throttle.
Uh-huh.
So if you absolutely floor the accelerator, it'll buck for a second
and then
it'll sort of break loose.
Okay.
No kidding.
And after it warms up or on days that don't fit your meteorological requirements, it runs fine?
Seems to run fine. There's maybe a little bit of a hiccup on when you first start it up and it's cold, but other than that, it's running fine.
And on these days when it is humid,
mm-hmm,
or damp and it misbehaves, if you continue to drive it, does it improve?
It typically runs along, it sputters along for a couple seconds, and then it clears itself up.
Yeah.
We had one occasion on one of those days where there was a tremendous thunderstorm about to happen.
Yeah.
Where I just couldn't get the thing to keep running, and had to sort of wait for the storm to pass.
So, I mean, I hate to revert to the obvious, but I would certainly try a new set of spark plug wires and a distributor cap and a rotor.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely sounds electrical. I'm hard-pressed to fall into any of the other geological, psychological, theological, and all those other categories, mm-hmm, because the humidity issue is crucial. And the thunderstorm. Wait. Where under which of these categories would aliens from the mothership fit?
I think we'd have to invent a new category.
Ufological.
It might fit under psychological.
Ufological.
Well, I would take a stab at the wires and the cap and the rotor.
Yeah.
And those are likely candidates, considering the age of the car. They may very well be as old as the car itself.
Yeah.
Maybe older.
It could be. The other thing that occurred to me is that it's I'm sure got an old fuel tank, and I wonder if there's gunk floating around.
No.
Oh, I'm sure there is, but it would...
I don't think that's it. It would not exhibit these kinds of symptoms.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the fuel wouldn't care whether it was humid or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost certainly electrical, and I agree completely with mein Bruder. And I haven't
that's
done
worrisome.
That for I don't know how long.
He only does that when he can't come up with an answer of his own, which is often.
Yeah, well, that's often. No, but even then I disagree with you. I make up something. I figure if you can do it, so can I.
Go electrical, Andrew.
Go electrical.
Can't go wrong with electricity.
And plugs and wires, cap, rotor, all that stuff.
Thanks
for calling. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, fellas.
Hi, who's this?
My name's Christy. I live in Port Townsend, Washington.
Christy with a K-R.
No.
Christy.
C-R-Y.
C-R.
C-R-Y?
Why?
S-T-I-E?
Yes, very good.
Very good. Well, you gave us three quarters of it.
Anyway, what's up?
Oh, I have a very humiliating problem.
Oh, yeah? The heartbreak of psoriasis?
Does it have to do with an odor?
All right, here's the background.
Yeah. Okay.
My partner's family lives on a wheat farm in eastern Washington.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of big machines, and they have their own gas tank.
Is this your business or life partner?
My life partner.
Okay.
Well, at least
temporarily life partner.
Yeah, well...
Till somebody dies.
Yeah.
Oh, no. So, anyway, I was over there for the harvest, and I wanted to fill up my car, my tank. It's an 88 Chevy Blazer, by the way. With gas from their pump that they have there.
Oh, I see it now.
No, you don't.
I see diesel in your future.
You don't have any idea.
I see diesel fuel.
No.
Oh, no.
Oh, gosh, it's worse than that.
So anyway,
it's a really old machine.
It's 51 octane.
It's an old machine, and the meter doesn't work very well, and so I was putting gas in my car, and I realized that I didn't know when the car would be full. So I decided that I wanted to look into the tank so I wouldn't overflow and
And it was dark, so you lit a match. No.
Well, no, there's a little metal flap that covers the hole of the gas tank. So,
I
couldn't see in there. So I leaned down and I picked up a nail, like a 3-inch long nail, and I pushed aside the little flap so I could look in the tank. And zoom, it got sucked into the gas tank like there was a vacuum in there.
Right.
So I went into a mechanic in Seattle and I said, there's a nail in my gas tank. Is it a problem? And he said, no. It'll just float in there. It'll just bob. Unless, of course, it strikes metal and sparks, and so now I think I'm going to explode.
Aha!
Okay. No, I'm serious. It's a great psychological burden. So I called Chevy dealer, and I said, there's a nail in my gas tank. Am I going to be okay? And they didn't take me seriously, and I was hoping you would, and tell me if I'm going to blow up.
You were hoping that we took you seriously.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was a big nail. Surely it can't belong in there.
Let me get this straight now. You called the dealer and they didn't take you seriously and you thought we would.
Well, I thought at least you could sort of make it. So next time I thought about it in there, I wouldn't think about dying.
Something wrong with this picture.
We will comfort you, my child.
Really?
Okay. Yes. Now, was this a galvanized nail or was it just a plain old...
It was on the ground. I don't... It looked...
It was like a rusty nail.
3 inches long. It was rusty.
Oh, it was long.
Your car's going to get tetanus.
But I didn't say it was rusty.
It wasn't rusty.
It wasn't rusty.
How long was it?
3 inches, maybe?
3 inches.
That's a big nail.
Yeah, it was a big nail. That's why I'm worried. I mean, maybe it'll go in there and then get sucked through the innards of the car and then...
Yeah, that's what will happen. It'll get sucked into the fuel pump. It'll go right down the fuel lines. It'll go into one of the cylinders, and it will be consumed by the engine.
It'll make a hole in one of the pistons. It's not going to go anywhere.
It can't. It's too big.
It's too big to go any place because your fuel in your vehicle, 88 Blazer, has a fuel injection.
Uh-huh.
And you have an electric fuel pump, which is in the tank.
Uh-huh.
The fuel pump has a screen on it, which prevents very tiny particles from getting sucked into the pump.
So
a
nail
will prevent a nail from getting sucked into the pump.
So it won't get sucked, but what about blowing up? What if it sparks against
What's it going to spark against? The gasoline?
No, the metal in the tank.
No. That thing is going to sit on the bottom of the tank forever
That'll be there when the car is junk, which is like a week from now.
No need to like buy its 4-foot long
No, when the cosmos collapses on itself, that nail will still be sitting in the bottom of that tank.
Yeah.
So I don't think I'd be the least bit worried.
Okay.
You can put this completely out of your mind, Christy. There is nothing.
You sound like you don't believe it.
Well, no, I just,
You can trust us 100% on this.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And don't forget the advice that we gave a caller just a couple of weeks ago, which was, whatever you do, don't take our advice.
Oh, great. That's a lot.
You can absolutely trust us on this.
Yeah, no, this is true. Nothing can happen.
Nothing can happen.
You can forget about it.
Months without sleep. Okay. Yeah.
Do you have any lawyers in the family?
But sell
we don't want to get sued if anything happens.
You saved the day. Yeah, no lawyers.
Good. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Matthew from Dallas.
Hi, Matthew.
What's up, Matt?
Well, I have...
I may call you Matt, may I?
Sure, go ahead.
Good.
Sure, I have an interesting confluence of things automotive and marital relations.
Got it. Go ahead.
Well, what happened was, I guess about late June, my brother and sister-in-law were visiting. And we were driving someplace, and my sister-in-law pointed a spot underneath my car.
Yeah.
The car that the spot's under is my car, which is an Accord. My wife has a Horizon. So I check the spot underneath, and I dip my finger in it, feel it, and it doesn't feel like, water off the condenser of the air conditioner.
Good.
So I smell it, and I can't identify the smell.
All right.
Well, I touch my fingers to my tongue and go, oh, this is radiator fluid. And... Well, both my sister-in-law and my wife...
Recoil in horror!
Exactly. So, well, now we fast forward to...
And they say you'll be dead in an hour!
Something like that.
Parenthetically, you moron.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've got
that look a lot of times.
Right, you antifreeze swilling yo-yo.
Exactly. And well, it brought up the question is there anything that is... I mean, I know antifreeze and motor oil and... Lots of things in the car are toxic when ingested in significant quantities. Is there anything that's actually toxic in the quantity where if you
just
touch
tuck your finger to it, will it just do you in just like that?
Yeah, and
no.
So
not unless my mother's cooking is around somewhere.
Yeah, I suppose battery acid might be the exception to that.
Yeah, battery acid. It wouldn't kill you, but you wouldn't want that to be touching your tongue, even for that little amount and that little bit of time.
This is true.
The amount of antifreeze that you ingested from sampling that little spot is hardly enough to kid you. I think if you did it every day, you might build up an immunity to it, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think. I mean, I don't think there's anything else. I mean, we got...
Brake fluid's not too good
brake
to
fluid
drink,
isn't
no.
too good.
Motor
but
oil
it,
isn't
not,
good.
It's not going to kill you.
Gasoline, no.
The fumes from gasoline is just enough to kill you. But... Yeah. Not the amount that you fit on the tip of your finger.
Yeah.
Well, I think you I think you should do a week of antifreeze, a week of gasoline.
See when you get the sickest.
Yeah. But tell your wife to lighten up.
Okay.
Something else, you'll probably get hit by a bus next week. Don't worry about drinking a little antifreeze.
I mean, women are afraid of lots of things.
Mostly men.
And justifiably. But you're right. I think there are lots of women. I shouldn't make these blanket generalizations.
No, but go right ahead. Don't let me inhibit or deter you in any way, shape, or form.
You're trying to get me divorced.
No,
aren't
no, no.
Again.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, I have found that there are many women who are afraid of lots of things that men aren't afraid of, or at least don't admit to being afraid of. Men have to show that they're rough. It's just a little little battery acid in my eye, hon. Won't hurt me. I think it's a part of being a guy. I think we do it just to show that we're big and strong.
Oh, you think it's a demonstration of machismo?
Of course it is.
I think it's more stupidity. Than
yeah. Well, that's what they would have us believe. But
yeah,
it's
they're
not.
Probably right. Don't drink this stuff, Matt.
Yeah. What are you, a nut? Come on.
See you later.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's time for us to take a little break.
Ah, yes. This is to give our stations a little time to identify themselves.
No, this is to give their janitors time to clean the anti-car talk graffiti off the station's front door.
Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment.
Give me the downbeat, Maestro. I want to let on the line. Because everything I do, I want to do it in double time. When I take a ride in my car, I let it roll. Hear me? I said let it roll. I like to feel that wind in my face, nice and cold. If you chicks are timid, you just better turn back. Because when I take a ride in my car, it's got to be action back. Hear me? Action back. Well, if your music's going to move me, well, I've got to feel the beat.
And even though Renee Montaigne looks at her NPR tattoo and feels a pang of regret every time she hears us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and etymology.
Well, it isn't actually etymology, but I don't know what the right word is. This is a
maybe
great,
it's entomology.
This is a great. It could be a great letter from Austin Matlow from Jeffersonville, Indiana. Dear Click and Clack, isn't technology wonderful?
Isn't it?
I like that. There are, of course, car computers, but there has also been for some time on the market the Car Talk computer. I don't know what that means. I was recently writing a winning entry to your latest contest, whatever it was. Before mailing it in, however, I wanted to make sure that all the words were spelled correctly. Spelled S-P-E-L-E-D. Dusting off my trustworthy Franklin Wordmaster model WM1000 spell checker, I typed in each word. The computer confirmed that the spelling of click, C-L-I-C-K, was correct. Imagine my surprise, however, when the automatic Merriam-Webster thesaurus kicked in and furnished the following definition and synonyms. Click, verb, to result favorably according to plans and desires. Something really
right,
clicks.
Right, something clicks. Right, exactly.
As in succeed, go over, pan out, prove out.
Yeah, I got it.
I wonder what would happen with clack. Mm. This time the computer displayed four definitions. One, clack. Verb, to emit a ready flow of inconsequential talk.
That's obvious now. Who is who? As in, I must be Click, and you must be Clack.
I knew you'd think that. As in chat, babble, burble, cackle, chatter, clatter, dither, gab, jaw, patter, da da da.
I guess
da,
the
da,
mystery yeah. is solved. People always ask me. People stop me in the street.
But there's more. Number two, verb. To make a rapid succession of short, sharp noises, and as in rattle, bicker, clatter, shatter.
Rant, rave.
It gets better. Number three, noun. Idle and often loud and incessant talk. As in chatter, babble, blabber, cackle, chat, chit-chat, gab, palaver, prate, prattle. Four, noun. A person who habitually retails private, scandalous, or sensational and often inaccurate information, as in gossip circulator, gossiper, quidnunc, scandalmonger, sieve, talebearer, telltale, car talk. At this point, a cloud of blue smoke filled the room, and something resembling automatic transmission fluid sprayed out of the computer, which now makes a loud da 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 sound.
Boy, I guess the mystery is finally solved, huh?
The mystery may be solved.
Jeez.
We got to save that one for the archives.
That is a classic. Who sent that?
Austin Matlow.
Hey, you know, this is normally the time when I introduce the new puzzler.
It's about time. Is it back from vacation?
You do your little snooze and all that.
I read the mail. I eat a pretzel. Yeah.
Yeah, well, as everyone knows, the puzzle's on vacation, but it's going to return, you know, tanned, rested, and ready.
Time, man.
At least I hope so, anyway.
I hope so, too.
If it doesn't, boy, it's going to be a long
isn't
fall
it awful
winter.
To have a whole vacation and come back in just as bad shape as you were when you left, if not worse.
But if you're one of those people for whom a week just isn't complete without a Car Talk puzzler, here's what you got to do.
First, seek professional help. Seek professional help.
Or go to cartalk.com, where you'll find this week's classic puzzler from the Car Talk archives. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
How are you?
Hey, who's this?
Who's this?
This is John Elmas calling from Cutbank, Montana.
John.
I have trouble with my dipstick.
Yeah?
Yeah, she pops out.
It does.
How old are you?
Old enough that it shouldn't. No, I have a 79 Ford Bronco. And I'll drive down the road, and I'll park, and I'll check the oil, because being a Ford, you have to check the oil, and the dipstick will be up, popped out of its little holder there.
Yeah.
Yeah. They told me I had something called blow-by.
You
maybe,
do.
Whatever that might be.
Well, you may. Yeah. I mean, it takes a lot to pop that dipstick out. I mean.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's one of the things that does it, is blow-by.
Well, how much out of the tube is it?
Oh, 6 inches, maybe?
No, well,
it's enough. It comes up.
Yeah,
they said something about a PVC valve or a whatever.
PCV.
Kind of, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Well, I thought I'd talk to you guys first.
They did check the PCV system, and it's working?
Apparently.
Mm. How much oil does this thing burn?
Oh.
Give us a rough idea.
Rough idea, you're 250 to 500 miles for a quart.
Mm. Yeah, that's good.
Maybe 250 miles. I'll 250. It depends.
We'll go to 250.
You know, when you get out on the highway, it depends upon how fast you're driving.
Do I hear 180?
Well, that old thing won't get up that fast anymore.
Well, I suppose that the faster you drive it on the highway, the greater the consumption is.
Yes.
And if you're burning, you know, a quart every 200 or 250 miles, then you probably do need a ring job because you have blow-by, and that probably is blowing the stick out.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
You said, what is blow-by? Blow-by is when the rings are shot, then, you know, an explosion of sorts takes place in the cylinder.
Correct.
And it's supposed to, the force of that explosion is supposed to push the piston down. But if the rings are no good, part of that force sneaks by the rings and goes down into the crankcase.
The rings encircle each piston and are supposed to keep the piston tight against the cylinder wall and prevent these combustion gases from blowing by the rings.
Is that why sometimes I find oil in my air cleaner?
Yes, it is.
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, yeah, you're done for.
Am I done for?
Well, you're not, but the Bronco is.
The Bronco is?
Yeah, you may be all right. You sound all right.
He's got 120,000 miles on him, but he's getting to be a pretty faithful friend. Can I just keep pouring oil in him?
Well, you can do that, certainly. I mean, the dipstick popping out in and of itself is not a big problem, and you can tie a string to it so you don't lose it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that
it just go flying by, you know, with no speed limit, you get going pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, just forget about it. It probably won't come all the way out and fall on the road.
No, it's not that. It's just
not that, and it doesn't matter that it's popped out. It doesn't make any difference. So as long as you keep pouring oil in it, and you don't have to worry about smog and pollution out there in Montana, because that's the wide open spaces. You can do any damn thing you want.
I remember a couple of years ago, we had a customer that came into the shop that had lost his dipstick.
And the reason never mind.
Well, we won't discuss it. It was rather embarrassing, obviously, but he'd lost his dipstick because he was burning so much oil that, in fact, he was checking it all the time. And one time he checked it. Of course, he needed oil, and he added the oil but forgot to put the dipstick back in, and it got lost.
Yeah, you got to be careful where you put that.
Rather than buying a new dipstick because it was an old car and he figured it would be a problem, he just estimated how much oil he would have to add. He said, well, you know, I add about a quart every 300 miles.
That had to be another Ford.
Now, to be on the safe side, I'll add a quart every 250 miles. Well, needless to say,
he ended up with 8 quarts of oil in it.
8. He came in one day for an oil change. Well, no, he came in because it was leaking oil. And suffice it to say that this thing was leaking oil from every place an engine could possibly leak oil. And when we pulled the oil, the plug out of the oil pan, it was like a fire hose. And I think about 10 gallons of oil came out of that engine. So don't lose your dipstick. That's the moral of the story.
There you go.
Just keep an eye on it.
Okay.
All righty?
Good luck, John.
Thank you guys very much.
Thanks for calling.
We'll see you.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Julie from Mount Vernon, Washington.
Hi, Julie. What's up?
Well, actually, I have a question for you that's more of a marriage question than a car question.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
I'll go for a sandwich.
I need you guys to help me out. It's a question of whether I should fess up to something or not.
Oh, boy.
I'm driving a 1985 Volkswagen Vanagon, and the other day, about a month ago, actually, I came out from the store, and I swear to God there was nobody behind me.
And you hit that nobody, didn't you?
I hit that nobody. He suddenly appeared, and I hit him, backed into him, and I got out, and I didn't see any damage on his car or my car. So, I looked around, and there was no damage, so I just got in my car, and I went home.
And more importantly, there were no witnesses.
And there were no witnesses,
That's what
so I got out of there quickly. No, I really did look, and I didn't see anything. So.
Yeah.
If I would have seen something, I would have gone back in and found the owner.
Of course. Oh, yeah.
So the next night, my husband and I go out to dinner, and we're coming back to the car, and he sees this huge dent in the fender. Oh. And he says, oh, my God, what moron would hit us?
And then drive away.
And then drive away. And there was my opportunity to say, oh, honey, that moron was me. Yeah. But I didn't. I said, well, maybe they left a note on the windshield. And I let it go. And so he's out in the garage the next day pounding the bumper out going, who could do this?
Yeah.
And I still didn't fess up to it. So I've been feeling kind of guilty.
Why?
And I wanted to know from you guys, do you think it's worth telling him at this point, or should I just let it go?
Well, you're sure that this is a dent that was inflicted in the situation that you described?
I'm pretty sure it is. I would doubt anybody would run into us.
Well, the more important question is, it may have been the guy that you had hit. Maybe sought his revenge. Maybe he spied you from afar. But if you did this to your car, chances are, and you didn't notice it, chances are that you did something equally as damaging to his car.
I think so.
And didn't notice that either.
How could you not notice?
Well, when the kids are screaming in the car.
And they were. And the dog was barking.
The dog is barking.
I was
and it's late.
Out.
You have to get back home to cook supper for your darling husband.
Yep.
Things can disappear. It can happen.
See,
now, we have always been proponents of absolute truth.
Absolute, huh?
Hold on.
Right.
We have always. And I mean, in this particular case, I would try to find some rationale for forgetting all about it.
Well, I do have...
I don't see any repercussions here.
Oh, no, there are deep repercussions. I mean, it has everything to do with the...
Well, I didn't tell you the other thing I did.
It's going to shake the foundations of your...
Whoa, there's more to the story.
There's just a little bit more.
Go ahead, Julie.
About a week before I backed into somebody, you know how these things have a vent on the top that you can open to let air in?
Yes.
Well, I opened the vent, and my son and I went in the library because I left the dog in the car.
You have
to. So I wanted to have some air.
Yeah.
And I told her to remind me that the vent was open.
Yeah.
And she forgot.
Yeah.
And I drove into the garage with it open.
Uh-huh.
And I sheared it off. And I knocked the garage door off its hinges. And that one I had to fess up to because I couldn't get the...
Oh, yeah, it's hard to...
You
can't forget that one when the garage door is laying on top of the roof of the Vanagon.
Yeah, that one was kind of tough to fake.
Yeah.
So he didn't know about that one.
Oh, I see. So on the heels of that little fiasco, you felt it might not be a really good idea to fess up to this other little incident.
That's kind of what I thought.
You know, you... Well, and I have a...
Lest he think that you are a flaco.
Yes.
See, I think you may have to just sweep this one under the rug and hope that your husband doesn't listen to the show, does he?
He does, but I've got a way to stop that.
You do.
Certainly.
He records it, but I can accidentally... flip the switch and oops.
Oh, let's see. Now
you're getting deeper and deeper.
That's the trouble.
Pretty soon you'll be hiring ex-KGB agents to jam the radio transmission coming out of your NPR station. I think you're going to have to tell them.
You think so?
Yeah, because if you don't, we're going to call
them. Well, see, you just told us a way that it can get deeper. I mean, I thought there were no repercussions, but now you're ready to perpetrate another little lie to cover up the first one, and that's the trouble with lying. If it were I would say, you know, hon, you know that dent? I may have done that. Because a couple of nights before we were out at that restaurant, I remember someone crashing into me. No, I remember backing up into somebody, and I didn't see any damage. But now that I think of it, it may have been me.
You think I should?
Because as soon as you can visualize it getting more complicated, I mean, you can imagine what it's going to lead to. My God, I can see it happening. It could be the beginning of World War II. Or have we already had that?
We already had that one.
All right, three.
Nip it in the bud, Julie.
Yeah. Fess up.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. You were looking for something clever from us, but you didn't get it.
Sorry.
Get it. See you later.
Okay, thanks.
Bye. Now, do you follow this advice yourself?
Well, only if I can get away with it, do I lie. I mean, if you can get away with it without a secondary...
Without
follow-up lies.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, if you're smart enough, you can foresee all the different ramifications.
No, that's why I tell the truth, because I'm not that smart.
And you have to remember.
I'm smart enough to know that I'm not that smart.
See, I know my wife has never lied to me about anything, because she at least has...
Well, no. Wait. I heard her say you were cute once.
No, I mean... unless she is even more duplicitous than I think she is.
Uh-huh.
But she has convinced me that she cannot lie. The phone rings, right? And you say, no matter who it is, hon, I'm not here. She picks up the phone.
She says, hi,
hello?
Doug. Hi, Doug.
And, he's not here. He said to say he's not here. She can't do it.
Uh-huh.
Now, it may just be that she's convinced me of that, and she's lying to me all the time.
Yeah, he may be even about that.
Maybe even about that.
Well.
I never lie to my wife, though. I know that. I've never lied to her.
Okay.
And at least I'm not going to admit it on the radio.
That's for sure.
Well,
it's happened again. You have squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from his triumphant slam dunk at the Cape Ann Donut Toss, is John Bugsy Lawler.
A slam dunk?
Yes, dunk. Get it?
Dunk.
Dunk donuts.
Get it, man. Dunk.
Cool, huh?
Yeah.
Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge and Overa. The receptionist at our Bombay office is Vishnu Hadnakum. Our staff disciplinarian is, oh no, our mortgage loan consultant is Nora Lenderby, and our solicitor of new ideas is Obi Quiet. Our director of customer rebates is Noah. Oh, no. Our sexual harassment investigator is Hank Pankey. Our director of Three Stooges Studies is Lee Iacocca. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Outavindo. Our Russian chauffeur is Pete Coffin Dropoff. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by staff librarian Albin Heard Before, and our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the obnoxious mimes in Harvard Square as... Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1434, download classic Car Talk episodes, and check out our clothing and CD collections all over at CarTalk.com. Also this week at CarTalk.com, some shocking news.
Oh, yeah?
Okay, high voltage news. We can now tell you everything you ever wanted to know about electric cars, how they work, whether they save money, what are the upsides and downsides, and how to improve your hitchhiking odds when you run out of juice. If you're at all tempted by electric cars, you'll want to check out our new EV section, which you can find right now over at CarTalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though our children petition the courts to change their last names to Bajoli whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.